Live from WNUR News, I'm Sean Graves. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Wednesday, April 10th. Tonight on WNUR News, Total Eclipse of the Heart. In music, reacting to a new indie pop album. And water bottles as emotional support companions. Plus our weekly sports report. These stories coming up on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for tuning in. If you didn't get a chance to be in the path of totality this Monday, don't worry. Reporter Mika Ellison has you covered with recordings of totality and the people watching it from Oklahoma to Ohio.
Have you ever felt something that was impossible to describe? That made your heart pound out of your chest and your knees feel weak? How do you explain that feeling? What do you say when you're speechless?
Holy
sh**. Holy sh**.
Wow!
What the
f**k? Holy sh**.
Hey, where's
holy
your,
cow. This is freaking...
This Monday, a full solar eclipse swept across the eastern part of the U.S., from Texas through the Midwest, ending in Vermont and Maine. A band of darkness, known as the Path of Totality, saw the full eclipse, where the moon perfectly blocks out the sun. People traveled
5 hours.
10 straight hours of driving.
Amazing. 8 hours in the car.
And some just walked out of their houses and looked up to see the eclipse in places like
Terre Haute, Indiana.
In Toledo, Ohio.
Lawrence, Indiana.
Oberlin College.
And Poteau, Oklahoma. So today, we're bringing you to the Path of Totality, through recordings of people witnessing this several times in a lifetime event, with friends, in groups, in parking lots, and with family.
You're very close to the world.
From Northwestern, students, including yours truly, arose at ungodly hours.
5:30 a.m.
And piled into cars. In our case, it was a Chrysler Pacifica. We brought an enormous amount of snacks.
Hi, I'm Cammy. I brought cuties, apples.
Hi, I'm Olivia. Cammy brought me cheddar Pringle. And
cheddar,
I brought Trader Joe jerk chips.
Hi, I'm Luke. Like Cammy brought me Charlie gummies, and that's about it for me.
Hi, I'm Alexi and G. I brought Tylenol.
That's it for me.
Oh, and Easter candy.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Celie. I brought strawberries,
hot fries, tortilla chips, and
Hi, I'm Maria. Cookies. I brought oatmeal raisin cookies, an assortment of chocolates, apples, bagels, and tuna pasta salad.
What we did not bring was enough eclipse glasses. After driving for about 5 hours, visiting a co-working space,
and my feet hurt.
It's bathroom break time.
And eventually ending up at a Culver's, our group was ready to take on the eclipse. And in states across the country, other people were too. Groups varied in age, number of people, and location.
This is Andrea Lohman. It is 2:57 p.m. We are behind the hotel at Oberlin. And I have with me Mr. Stu Van Ormer.
Hi.
And there's also Jay.
Hello.
Jay Copeland. And this is Sue Beattie. And we are here.
But mostly, we all talked about birds.
The duck. Are you talking about the duck?
No, there's a hawk. It's probably
a
bird.
Oh, I see it, yeah. There's a duck here. Yeah, that's been a watching. Let's see if he tucks his head under his wing.
Right.
If you can hear the birds, right?
Yeah.
Were they there before?
I feel like my senses are heightened. They're like, what is going on, bro? No, they were here before, remember?
We were commenting on how they weren't chirping.
If this
now they're chirping.
Happening.
Full solar eclipses are surprisingly rare events. They occur when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun at the right distance to exactly cover it from our perspective, usually for about 2 or 3 minutes at a time. They're rare enough that in any given group of people, most are seeing totality for the first time.
This is just human experience.
Yeah, everyone's reacting to this in the same. Oh, boy.
Really, because it's the apocalypse.
It's getting darker and darker. And the sirens are going off. Oh my goodness, the water is draining out of the bottom of the pool. Look at this.
It looks like a pharmacy. Not pharmacy, but a drug commercial. But all the lighting is really strange.
Something about an eclipse also brings people together. There's a sense of community that's difficult to replicate. We got extra glasses from someone in the Culver's drive-thru who saw us trading off on using our two pairs.
Thank you so much!
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
helped out a couple people along the way who didn't have any.
What time?
307.
307.
What time is
maybe
it
right here. I don't know. We got about 15
like
minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes. Let's go to the other place. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
No problem.
And talk to everyone else who has gathered to see the eclipse in the Culver's parking lot.
Oh my god, I've always wanted to be
Yeah, so I'm Dimitri. I mean, we all drove here from Minneapolis in Minnesota.
Wow.
What's your name?
Christina.
Christina, and have you ever seen one of these before?
Nope, first time.
Okay.
It's been 400 years.
Wait,
I know.
How crazy is that?
Right?
Exactly. Wait.
It's impossible to not be excited about something that everyone is allowed to see. Something we are all about to experience together, like it or not. Everyone was counting down the minutes.
Don't look at it.
I'm not, but I'm looking at it.
I'm looking at it.
Okay. No, but
try and stop it. Okay, we're going to get out the colander one more time.
What else?
Oh, yeah,
right? The hawk.
Oh, there he goes. That's him.
What time is it supposed to be total?
3:04.
And what time is it?
2:53.
Oh, my gosh.
We're like 20 seconds away.
20 seconds
out.
Within,
the sun is going out.
I can't see it.
The sun.
It's dark here.
In a famous essay about solar eclipses, Annie Dillard says that seeing a partial eclipse bears the same relation to seeing a total eclipse as kissing a man does to marrying him. And there's probably some truth to that. In person and on recordings, the moment of totality is simply unmistakable.
We can see
oh,
the stars. That's going to be Jupiter.
Wow. Wow.
It's okay.
Honestly,
it's okay.
Wow.
No.
Is there a drone right there? Or
guys,
I can't really see.
Oh my god. Oh my god, there it is.
It's almost
oh
there.
My god. Yeah, I can see the moon.
It's
turning out.
It is dark.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh my god. It's almost gone. Oh my god. It's almost gone. It's almost gone.
Guys.
Guys, take off the glasses for a second.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Dude, no, look now! Look now! Take off the glasses! Take off the glasses! Take off the glasses!
Holy shit!
Oh my god!
It's gone!
It's gone!
Oh my god.
That's crazy. That is,
it
is completely
look at
that.
Oh my god.
Is that Mars?
That's so cool. Oh my god.
Suddenly everyone's a little kid again, looking up at the stars.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Seeing the eclipse creates a physical, visceral reaction.
I can feel my heart beating.
It really is like falling in love.
That is amazing.
That's epic.
It takes your breath away.
Oh my god, we can see it.
You see the solar flares.
Oh my god, that's unbelievable.
Oh my god.
That's insane. That's so...
You feel a lot. Mostly joy.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Woo!
Sometimes relief.
Oh, I'm so glad we made it.
Gratefulness.
Thanks for picking me up.
Thank you so much for putting this in my calendar like a year ago.
Folks, thank you so much for taking that.
And you feel small under a celestial event so powerful it changes how the world looks.
We don't really matter.
And at the end, as totality finishes and the sky grows lighter by the second, you might feel a little sad.
Oh, I'm devastated. It's getting brighter.
I like want it to stay like this forever.
I know.
Until the sun rises.
Wow.
Oh, good, 51. The sun is coming back.
Yay, sun! Here comes the sun.
It's usually then that your words come back.
Magnificent.
What luck.
We loved it. We absolutely loved it. You should put this on your list of things that are better than Yeah, honestly.
And then suddenly, the sun is out, you're not allowed to look at it anymore, and you're back in the real world, which has jobs, homework, and traffic. Uh-oh. Lots and lots of traffic. But the best part about eclipses is that it's a couple of times in a lifetime event. The next one isn't for a while, but it's there. In this case, the next one's in 2045. It may not be soon, but if you didn't get to totality this time, there's always a second chance. Special thanks to Claire Foltz, Basil Free, Rose Carlson, Eduardo Andrade, Georgia Kerrigan, and my neighbors for recording themselves or asking their family and friends to record themselves during totality. And of course, to all the people in the recordings.
This is Claire Foltz coming in from Terra Haute
Indiana.
That was cool. This is Rand Meyer coming in from Terra, super hot, Indiana.
This is Cole Prieto.
This is Carly Kelly coming in from Terra Hot, Indiana.
This is Beatrice Bailey.
coming in from
Terra Hot, Indiana.
See you on the flip side of the moon.
For WNUR News, I'm Mika Ellis. Make you glad you
came. Turning to music, indie pop band Vampire Weekend released a new album, their first in 5 years, on April 5th. Join Sydney Fenner and her guests as they react to and dissect the album Only God Was Above Us in real time. I know you're tired of trying.
Hi, I'm Sydney Fenner with WNUR News, and today I am joined by
Veronica Silvosa,
Paris Bazzuti,
and Juliet Allen.
And today we are going to be listening to the new Vampire Weekend album that came out on April 5th called Only God Was Above Us. We're really excited. I'm super excited. I'm a massive Vampire Weekend fan. And okay, let's get into it. Somewhere in your family tree, there was someone just like me. Okay, so we are currently halfway through the album. We have listened to Ice Cream Piano, Classical, Capricorn, Connect, and Prep School Gangsters. And we took a pause to describe some of our thoughts and feelings so far. Would anyone like to start?
This is my first Vampire Weekend album that I'm listening to all the way through. I've listened to a few of their songs here and there, but I've never really like stopped and listened to a full album, so this is very exciting. And I guess I really like the instrumentation in this. I really like the use of piano, especially like in the beginning of in Ice Cream Piano, there's very like discordant like tones, and in Classical everything like seems to be kind of like clashing in a way.
I really like the use of the piano in it, especially like the way that they're kind of editing the tones or using whatever synth or piano they're using, where it's kind of like crunchy and there's like a lot of like noisy stuff going on, so it isn't just piano, which is awesome. Also just the production on like every single song is very, very cool. Like, it's really creative, and I think it kind of takes them above just being like, I don't know. Some of their stuff feels a little sometimes formulaic to me, and I think the production on this album kind of pulls it out of that, which I like.
I don't think Vampire Weekend has ever been known for its lyrical subtlety, but they are clever. But I think the first three songs specifically were of like very Vampire Weekend, had a lot of the elements that they normally roll with. The lead singer has this very specific tone and pronunciation that you can hear through the whole album, but I really have been liking where we're going with the album. I think Connect and Prep School Gangsters definitely gets into sort of a newer style that I have heard less of from them, which I'm really excited about.
I totally see where you're coming from when you said that they were, that these songs sort of sounded a lot like their older music. I think that's something that people have been saying a lot, especially with, the songs that have been put out so far. I think that this album has a major theme of, like, generations and, like, heredity and, like, looking back through time. I think that this is obviously major on Classical, but also Ice Cream Piano, like, right off the bat, they're talking about, there's that lyric, we're all the sons and daughters of vampires who drain the old world's necks. So, you know, thinking about where we came from and like the legacy of these old world, you know, constructs. I think Classical is so interesting in its, I mean, obviously its lyrics really like confront that theme very directly or unsubtly, as you put it. But in the instrumentation, which you guys both mentioned, I sort of feel like there's this like, there's that like piano like harpsichord line, but it feels a little corroded. Like there's this like digital like buzz to it that I think is sort of interesting, and it sort of complicates what could be kind of like a straightforward like sound.
The lyrics feel very right now. They feel very like, not to be like that person, but they do feel very like post-COVID world, like the kind of like feeling like you're very like isolated and like looking for more and like searching for meaning and all of those things. And I do think that that comes through really well. I also just wanted to say, mm-hmm. I thought classical sounded a lot like Flaming Lips, and I thought that was really cool. I'm hearing mm-hmm. some Flaming Lips influences. I don't think that I'm hearing Black Country New Road influences, mm-hmm. but I think Black Country New Road was definitely just influenced by this band.
Yes. Okay, I was gonna say, history, on classical, there was that, like, trumpet moment, and I was like, this is giving Black MIDI.
Yeah. And I was gonna say, I guess this doesn't have to do with, like, the people you've mentioned, but the beginning melody reminded me of this band I like a lot called the Lemon Twigs, which are very reminiscing about like the 70s. So I like been hearing some like kind of like 70s kind of like this like what I forgot like the exact it's like this art pop kind of genre. I've been hearing little bits of it here and there throughout the album, which is like very nostalgic, which I guess like leads into what you said about like thinking about the past a lot, which is mentioned mm-hmm. in this album. So I wonder if
evocations for sure. I wanted mm-hmm. to get into some of those connections that I'm mm-hmm. Thinking of. I also feel like thematically with Prep School Gangsters, so I looked it up, and apparently, so this song is named after a New York Magazine story entitled Prep School Gangsters, which was about these New York City gangs, which were made up of these really wealthy elite private school kids selling drugs to each other. So it was about like these people at elite private schools, these kids taking on this like quote unquote like gangster like lifestyle. I feel like this is something that's so interesting for this band to do, because Vampire Weekend has this very like extremely like preppy vibe, which partially comes from like who they are, which is a band that formed at Columbia University. But also, like, they have a lot of songs. Like, I mean, you may know the song Campus. There's, like, Ladies of Cambridge, Diplomat's Son. Like, they have this very sort of, like, East Coast, stately, like, elitist, preppy vibe. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of interesting for them to sort of, like, confront that really directly through this song. But I could see them, like, self-examining a little bit, which is a cool thing to do. If you want to hear about our favorites so far and our thoughts about the rest of the album, make sure to head over to our website, wnurnews.org. For now, I'm Sydney Fenner for WNUR News.
Now, if you're someone who finds that you cannot go anywhere without your water bottle, some psychologists say you might have an emotional attachment to it. Mariah Petway has the story.
You're talking with a friend, and the conversation is coming to a low. Your reusable water bottle is on the table next to you, so without hesitation, you take a sip, even though you're not that thirsty. Or you raise your hand to speak in class, and after you share, you grab your water bottle, even though your mouth is not that dry. Maybe our reusable water bottles are more of an emotional support item than we like to admit. That was the opening of an Owala water bottle. Third-year Medill and Weinberg student Wendy Zhu says that it is her favorite reusable water bottle out of the several that she's had since seventh grade.
And this was back when, like, the Swell water bottles were trendy. They were kind of, I don't know how to describe the shape, but I don't know. It was, like, they had a bunch of different cool colors, and I remember, I think they were on sale, but I got, like, one of those, duo chrome, like, color shift ones, and I thought it was really cool. And it was, like, I remember it was, like, green and some lighting, but also kind of like red, like yellow, orange, and other lighting. And then my friend got like a blue, green, purple one. So that was the first one that I can remember.
Zhu says that each water bottle she has owned reminds her of a different period in her life.
Like when I think about my lilac water bottle, I'm like, oh, like, you know, high school, whatever. I think about my Swell bottle, I'm like, oh, like middle school me, you know, those were the times and whatnot. So that I would say that is my relationship with my water bottles.
While some would admit to a relationship with their water bottles, others, like second year Weinberg student Miracle Ramos, would say that her water bottle is nothing more than an object.
I feel like when I do have a water bottle, like, I'm getting a new one every couple months, like, or every 6 months, so I'm not really getting, like, attached to it. I just kind of get interested in a new bottle from time to time.
Second-year Weinberg student Adelina Jambardet would also say she has no connection to her water bottle. Could it be that she has one and does not even know it?
And if I feel anxious or if, like, people are talking and I don't know, like, how to contribute, I'll just go for my water bottle, yeah.
So what is it? Are we all using reusable water bottles for emotional support and we don't even know it? To get to the bottom of this bottle, I spoke with practicing licensed therapist Kadeen Whitehead to find out what an emotional support item even is and if a reusable water bottle could even be considered an emotional support item.
An emotional support item can be a variety of things. Most commonly, children like to use stuffed animals as emotional support. It can just be any item that helps you to reduce stress. Like, I've even taught children how to use Play-Doh to reduce stress. I've also taught kids how to use slime to reduce stress. And like I said, stuffed animals too. It can be anything that helps reduce stress or just provides comfort.
When I think emotional support item, I think of what Whitehead just said. A soft, comforting teddy bear or a fuzzy blanket. But can a water bottle really be an emotional support item?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, it can be a variety of things, and I think it's about what it does for the person. And if it's something that can help somebody to reduce stress, yeah, it can definitely be a water bottle.
So now that I know I have a problem, what causes emotional attachment to something like a water bottle in the first place?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes people use items as emotional support without even realizing it. Like sometimes people overcoming grief, they might hold on to something from a loved one and not even realizing that, you know, it is an emotional support item.
Whether you reach for your water bottle or not, Whitehead reminds us that it is important to implement healthy stress-reducing strategies into our daily lives.
I do think while emotional support items are very helpful, I think the best thing for people to do is to try to incorporate something into their life to help them reduce stress. Often, most times nowadays, I feel like many adults tend to lean on maladaptive strategies to reduce stress, like substances. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had clients tell me that they vape or smoke marijuana to reduce stress. I highly recommend getting in a healthy routine, whether it's going to the gym, do yoga class, or having some community. If you're spiritual, if you're religious, you know, joining a church or joining a book club and like having a healthy sense of community.
Music by Mariah Petway. For WNUR News, I'm Mariah Petway.
Turning to our sports report, this week saw everything from Northwestern athletics. While one team defeated the number 2 team in the nation on the road, another extended its losing streak to 10 games. Gabe Shumway has it all.
Hello, I'm Gabe Shumway here with your NU Sports Report on everything from this past week. The lacrosse team, looking to repeat their national title, entered the week at number 1 in the RPI rankings. And who was waiting for them down in College Park? None other than the number 2 ranked Maryland Terrapins. Northwestern was able to take the win with a 17-9 final. And it was the tag team duo of Izzy Skane and Madison Taylor who brought them there, both netting 7 goals each. They'll be back at Martin Stadium this Saturday for a matchup with Ohio State. Diamond Sports continued this past week as well, with Big Ten play rattling on. The softball team had a 3-game set against Michigan, who came in at 6-0 in Big Ten play to Northwestern's 5-1. But with Northwestern home at the J, they were able to capitalize, netting a 3-0 sweep of the Wolverines. This continued their home winning streak to 33 games over the past 2 years. Graduate student Ashley Miller tossed 12 frames between the first and third games, allowing 5 runs, but only 2 of which were earned. They'll remain in Evanston this weekend for another 3-game series, this time with Maryland. The other diamond sport, baseball, suffered the opposite fate this weekend as they were swept by Penn State, including a 15-1 loss in 7 innings on Sunday. They followed this up yesterday with an 18-5 home loss to UIC, the University of Illinois at Chicago. But despite the 10-game losing streak, we still saw some standout performances over the past week, with Jackson Freeman knocking homers against Penn State in Game 2 and against UIC. They'll be at home this weekend against, you guessed it, Maryland. The men's golf team was in Charlottesville the past 2 days for the Louis Chitangwa Memorial. Altogether, the team tied for third place with Arkansas and North Florida. There were 14 total teams competing. Additionally, sophomore Ethan Tsang tied for third overall individually. The men's team's next tournament isn't until April 20th, but the women's team finishes up their tournament today. They look to continue their winning ways after a first-place finish at the Ping ASU Invitational. This wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Gabe Shumway for WNUR News.
Looking ahead to the end of the work week, we'll see some rain starting overnight. Tomorrow will be a little cooler, with highs in the 50s. But by Friday, things should clear up and warm up for some seasonable spring skies. Now turning to our latest headlines. If you go to Northwestern, chances are you've gotten a lot of emails about One Book, One Northwestern. On Monday, the university announced its selection for next year, The Night Watchman, a novel by Louise Erdrich. In Evanston, City Council on Monday seemed willing to help open a shelter for migrants, but council members largely opposed the proposed downtown site for about 60 asylum seekers. City staff will continue to explore applying for a Cook County grant that would allow Evanston to open a shelter. The Consumer Price Index increased 3.5% in March compared to a year ago, the Labor Department announced today. The stubborn inflation numbers jumped past expectations and could spook the Federal Reserve from cutting interest rates later this year. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on Twitter at WNUR News. You can listen to these and other WNUR news stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our producer today is Edward Simon Cruz, and our reporters are Mika Ellison, Sydney Fenner, Mariah Petway, and Gabe Shumway. From all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. I'm Sean Graves. Catch our next newscast on Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. Now back to scheduled programming.